beautiful for safer skies, for amber wings.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you on this 4th of July from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we, of course, want to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls. Well, we're not going to take calls maybe for the first half hour. And then after that, if you'd like to call in, well, of course, we'd love to hear from you. But right now, I just want to talk to you a little bit about the 4th of July. And you know, one of the big problems today is that most people equate the 4th of July with eating hot dogs. They equate it with going to the beach. They equate it with all sorts of things having nothing to do with what the 4th of July is really all about. Because the 4th of July is our nation's holiday. And if you believe in America, if you believe we are something unique and different that's worthwhile striving to protect, perhaps even having to die to protect, as our forefathers did, then let's just share some thoughts about the origins of freedom, because this, of course, is not really valued today. At one time, of course, every time we had a 4th of July, you had, of course, major parades. We have a little parade here in Santa Cruz. It's called the shortest parade in the world. It's the Aptos Parade. But, you know, the real meaning of the Declaration of Independence or the 4th of July of America's birthday is seldom mentioned. And so we thought we'd take today and maybe talk a little bit about what the Declaration of Independence says, because it is the most unique and novel document ever written outside of the Holy Scriptures, for it lays forth some basic principles of man's relationship to God that, of course, are seldom recorded any other place. And this is why it isn't taught in our schools. This is why, for instance, if you look at the modern-day textbooks, they have simply distorted the Declaration of Independence and left out certain words. Why? Because the most carefully kept secret in America today is that our freedoms come from God, not from government. Every other place in the world, why the ruler bequests certain freedoms to the people, they, of course, may have a certain amount of liberty. They may not have any liberty at all. But there is no country in the world where it is assumed that men are free, not because they should be free, not because the government lets be free, but their freedoms come from God. And, of course, what this says is that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And that's really what government is really all about. I did an interview with Ralph Epperson yesterday, and he was just saying that he asked a politician, what is the function of government? And the politician, well, he really didn't know what the function of government was, but he was running because he wanted to be part of that government. And Ralph's point is so correct, that to secure these rights, what rights? Our God-given rights. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. Well, that's the way it used to be. I mean, the government was subservient to the people. We had something called states' rights. We didn't have democracy where everybody could vote for whatever they wanted, and if they had enough people and enough clout, they could, of course, force government to go along with what they wanted. We had judges who believed in God and knew they were answerable to a supreme being rather than to, well, whatever they thought was best for the time being. Well, we're going to be back in just a few minutes as we begin adding stations, and of course, we'll talk maybe for half an hour. It depends on when I really want to take some calls. Why, we'll just ask you to give us a call. And remember the number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and it's the 4th of July of the year 2003. And this is an important day. Every 4th of July is an important day because it marks the birthday of the most unique nation there's ever been. Now, we've got a lot of problems in America today. But of course, America's worth saving because we have a heritage of freedom. And if you read the writings of the people who hate America, people like James McGregor Burns, for instance, one of the elitists who said, you know, our forefathers, the people who created this country have outsmarted us. They put all of these restrictions into government. In essence, he's basically saying so that we can't, of course, twist things around and create the dictatorship we want. Richard Gardner, certainly one of the leaders of this whole move to destroy America. He was, of course, the ambassador, I think, to Spain under William Clinton, but, of course, writing in Foreign Affairs magazine, which is a theoretical journal of the clique, the little group of people that really runs America. Richard Gardner, writing in April of 1974 in Foreign Affairs magazine, talked about how we were going to have to do an end run, we being the people who wanted to establish a dictatorship throughout the world, which they, of course, will rule because they're so much smarter than the rest of us. And you can go down to your local library and get a copy of that article where Richard Gardner talks about how we're going to have to do an end run around the Constitution. And, of course, he wants to go through GATT and the World Trade Organization and the Treaty of the Laws of the Sea. All of these international treaties are a means of, course, strangling America, strangling the very life out of this country, and then, of course, taking us into this one world government and the new world religion that these people believe in. And, of course, you need to get the documentation. Don't take anything I say for gospel, but you can go to the library. Foreign Affairs Magazine, April 1974. Richard Gardner, there is a group of people who want to control the world. And, of course, they belong to many organizations. Many of them, of course, belong to most of the organizations. You'll find them in the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission. You'll find them in the Skull and Bone Society. You'll find them in the Council on Foreign Relations. But they all have one goal, and that is a new world order and a new world religion. That's the goal of the Theosophists and the Rosicrucians and the Masons and the Satanists and certainly the people who run our central banks and the people who run our great foundations. A small group of people educated far beyond their intelligence who've come to disbelieve in the God of the Bible. And so, they look to their own intelligence to bring about a better world. Well, this is why we're in real trouble today, is because we have people who have forgotten the lessons of the past. And that is, well, we'll tell you those lessons in just a minute when we get back after this quick break. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, we're going to talk about the meaning of the 4th of July. And I think you can't understand the 4th of July unless you go look back in history and you realize that down through the ages, since the beginning of mankind, men have always been ruled by other men. You had emperors and you had kings, you had feudal lords, you had dictators, you had tribal chiefs. You've always had one group of men manipulating and controlling the others. And usually along with that, you always had some sort of a spiritual or religious connotation. For instance, the king always would have a priest, or he would have a shaman, or he would have a medicine man, or he'd have some sort of an advisor, maybe a magi. That's what the magi were that came to visit Christ in Bethlehem when he was born. They were the magi. They were the people who had tapped into the supernatural powers and had the ability to accomplish supernatural things many, many times. And, of course, you'll remember the story of when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And one of the things he did was to throw down his staff to show that he had supernatural power, and it turned into a snake. And, of course, the other priests, the priests of the Pharaoh, threw down their staves, and, of course, they turned into snakes, too. You see, there is a supernatural power out there, and people tap into it from one side, the side of the God of the Bible, or from the other side. But, of course, there's always behind every ruler somebody with supernatural power that gives him authority, and that's where we get these concepts of the divine right of kings. And certainly for, you know, almost 1,000 years or more, why the Catholic Church certified the rule of the kings, and the kings certified the rule of the Catholic Church, and both worked to oppress the people. Sometimes you had good kings, sometimes you had bad kings, sometimes you had good popes, sometimes you had bad popes, but men were never really free. And when you go back through history, and well, there have only been two times in all history where men were relatively free. Imperfect, because man is imperfect, but at least there was a degree of freedom. And the first instance, of course, was at the time when the children of Israel lived under God's law. And you'll find that the time described in Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. And the children of Israel lived without a ruler. They had certainly the law of God, the Ten Commandments to live. They had a tribal chieftain, but he didn't control them. The only real mediating factor in society were the judges who were to interpret God's law. But in those days, the judges were Samuel's sons, and they became corrupt. And of course, the very seed of the destruction of any society is the corruption of the judiciary, just as our judiciary is corrupt today. And these people in the Supreme Court and many of our courts swore to uphold a constitution, and they probably don't even know what the Constitution says. I talked to a lady yesterday on my program who was just all wound up about wanting to get people to vote and maintaining our freedom. And yet, of course, when I talked to her about the Constitution, she didn't even know how many articles there were in the Constitution, much less what it said or the basic concepts or the difference between a republic and democracy. And we have so many people out there who talk about freedom, but they don't understand what freedom's all about. Freedom's all about them doing whatever they want to without understanding that that, of course, leads to moral anarchy. Freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do, but to do what you should do according to God's laws. And that's the way it was with the children of Israel. I'm back here, and what was this? Well, this was pretty close to 3,000, a little over 3,000 years ago. And, of course, eventually, because of the corruption of the judges, why the leaders of the 12 tribes went to the prophet Samuel, and they said, Samuel, we want a king. We want a king like other countries. And Samuel said, you don't want a king. You're free now. And they said, oh, no, Samuel, we want a king. We want a king that will lead us into battle, and so we can be a powerful nation. So Samuel went to God, and he said, the children of Israel want a king. And what am I to do? And God said, Samuel, give them a king. It's not that they've turned against you, they've turned against me. But tell them what having a king will mean. A king will take 10% of whatever they have. You know, in those days, the kings were sort of pikers compared with the IRS today. And of course, he said, you know, the king will, of course, lead them into war, and they and their servants will run beside his chariots and work in his gardens. And the king, of course, will take away their freedom. Well, Samuel went back and told that to the children of Israel, and they didn't believe him. And so the Lord said, give them a king. And that's what he did. And the first king was Saul, who led them into wars. And then David led them into more wars. And it was on down, some kings good, some kings bad, until we ended up with Ahab and Jezebel. And shortly thereafter, why the children of Israel were overwhelmed by their enemies and taken away into slavery. And then, of course, down through the ages after that, why there was always oppression of men by men. Oh, we had an experiment in Greece about 25, 26, 2700 years ago, where they tried something called democracy, rule by the people, majority rule. Everybody will vote, and that's how we're going to have an ideal society. And it ended up in chaos. And if you read Plato's Republic, and Plato's Republic is seminal to understanding everything going on today. If you read Plato's Republic, he will tell you that democracy does not work, because the people find that they can vote themselves into the public treasury, and they do that, and the country has to print more money, and the currency is corrupted, and eventually the country falls. And of course, Plato said democracy doesn't work. Well, he wanted, of course, an autocratic government led by intelligent people like he did. And he had a lot of ideas, like, of course, he wanted to restore ancient Atlantis, that he said it existed. He wrote about it in his dialogues. He wanted all women to belong to all men. He wanted to destroy the family. But he wanted a ruling oligarchy, a massive police force, something like they're instituting in America today with the Total Information Awareness System, where everybody would be watched and monitored by the military and by the police, and then everybody else would simply be in the lower class. And that was the ideal utopian society that Plato dreamed of. And whether you or not you know it, there are people who believe of exactly the same thing today. Well, of course, Greece eventually fell from within. It was so corrupt in the very end that nobody even cared whether it really existed or not. And then, of course, before long, why, along came Rome. And Rome really started out as a republic. By republic, I mean a system of laws where you had senators who were elected by the people and were answerable to the people, and they were restricted in what they could do. But of course, even in that society, why you had people who wanted wars, because of course they would benefit from it, and of course when they could go off to war, why then of course they could come home with the spoils of war, and that with the riches they would get and all the slaves. But the taxes got so high that many of the Roman citizens were really extremely unhappy because they couldn't pay their taxes. Many times they would have to sell their own land and then suddenly become workers on their own land that now had been bought by somebody else who'd made a lot of money because of the wars. But there was always a justification for another war. Oh, there was a threat from Gaul. There was a threat from the barbarians. There was a threat from the Middle East. There was always a threat to justify another war. You see, there's very little new under the sun today. And so it was that one of their great, great generals was a man named Julius Caesar, and he was off fighting in Gaul. And of course, the Roman Senate realized how popular there was and how popular he was and the tremendous unrest among the people. And they feared that if he returned to Rome with his army, he might very well use the military force and his popularity to overthrow the Republican government that they had. Imperfect because people were imperfect, imperfect because they were manipulated into war after war. But they gave orders to Julius Caesar to disband his army before he crossed the Rubicon River and returned to Rome, so he would not threaten the duly elected government. Well, you've all heard the phrase, he crossed the Rubicon, and that's what, of course, Julius Caesar did. He crossed the Rubicon River with his army, marched on Rome, seized power, and, of course, that was the end of the Republic. And you've probably all heard the story of the assassination of Julius Caesar and by his good friend Brutus, and that phrase from Shakespeare, et tu, Brute. And you know, they're all involved in this. Well, they seem to be the bad guys, but they were trying to save the Roman Republic because they did not want their country to become an empire. They did not want it to become a dictatorship, which they knew it would under the Caesars. And there were people at that time who spoke out against what was going on. Cicero spoke out against it and eventually, of course, committed suicide when he was going to be arrested for having the courage to speak out against Caesar and what the others were doing to take away the freedom of the people. And then, of course, Rome established its empire. And it existed from, I think, 40 or 50 B.C. up until about 400 and something A.D. And, of course, they, of course, had provided a welfare for the people, and they provided entertainment for the people, and they corrupted their currency, and there was immorality and homosexuality and the breakdown of the family. And of course, if you read Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, it looks like, well, what you'll see on the front pages of our paper here in the United States every day. As everything was done to destroy the religious and moral beliefs of the people, of course, to provide from them, to keep them happy, to keep them distracted by the government, which was so internally corrupt, and everybody, of course, was after their own advantage. And it is said that by the time the Huns were streaming into the cities of Rome, the women were leaning out of the windows saying, "When do the rapes begin? When do the rapes begin?" Nobody cared about anything anymore. Rome was totally depraved. And, of course, Rome fell. And then, of course, we moved into that period that's known as the Dark Ages. A feudalistic system arose. And, of course, you had your feudal lords and your feudal serfs. And, well, we'll be back here in just a few minutes, and we'll go to about half hour. And then, of course, we'll open up our lines for calls if you have any thoughts. But I think we have to know the history of the past to know how we got to where we are. Because the feudal societies existed both on the continent and certainly in England until an event occurred in 1215. And at that time, of course, King John was on the throne of England, and King John was the ultimate sovereign. He could take away the power, the property, the rights of any one of his noblemen just on a whim. He could take away their wives and daughters for his pleasure. And a group of lords took Sir John out into the forest and at the point of a sword told him to sign the Magna Carta. Probably one of the most important documents of all time. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Hello.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 and the letdown off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Well, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is, of course, listener-supported, and we hope that the many of you out there will seriously give serious thought to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, we also hope that many of you will certainly want to get our newsletter. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then I want to tell you about the Big Berkey water filters. Certainly in times like this, and we are entering in certain times, most Americans don't really realize we're in World War III. World War III has begun. Everything seems to be so quiet here. Well, don't you believe it. There are people who hate America, and we're alienating more people every single day. So we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty, will give serious consideration to getting a Big Berkey water filter. And a Big Berkey are made of stainless steel. They filter water. They've been used for 150 years by missionaries throughout the world. But even more than that, of course, it's something that you can use if you don't like the taste of your water, if you're concerned about contamination, if you're concerned about pesticides or other things. The Big Berkey water filters are one of the finest water filters you can get. They're portable. They'll filter 25 gallons a day. And they are ordinarily sell for about $279. We offer it for $239. If you buy it through us, you get a four-tape set. That, of course, we produced, or a video we produced. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. These, however, are only available in 48 states. They're not available in California or Iowa. And, of course, then we suggest that you may want to get a Berkey Light. And you can see both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light on our website, which is, of course, radioliberty.com. So go there, look at the Berkey Lights, and if you want to get a Berkey Light or a Big Berkey, call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when we are certainly telling you what had happened in the past and what led up to the American Declaration of Independence. So after the Magna Carta was signed, you began to get a restriction put on the power of government. Now, up to that point, you really had no restriction on government. The government could do pretty well whatever it wanted. Once, of course, the Roman Senate was gone, why the Roman emperors could do whatever they did. Wanted to do, but here with the signing of Magna Carta, you begin to get some restriction on what government could do. And so it was that it was the following year why Tinsdale had written the Bible. Pardon me, Wycliffe had actually translated the Bible into English, although it wasn't available to anybody because there was no way of disseminating it. The following year, following century, in the 1400s, why Gutenberg made the Bible, and suddenly you could print Bibles. The first books that were printed were Bibles so people could read God's Word. Up to that time, the priests, the Catholic Church, didn't want people reading the Bible. Everybody had to go through the structure of the church if they wanted to reach God. And, of course, that's not the way God or anybody else wanted it. And so with the advent of the printing press, now you could begin to print Bibles. And then in 1492, why Columbus came to and discovered the new continent. And suddenly now there is this new continent, it's across the oceans, and everybody in Europe knows that. In 1517, why a man named Martin Luther posted a list of his grievances with the Catholic Church on the door of the church in Wittenberg. And, of course, he pointed out that the Catholic Church was taking indulgences, they were taking money simply for their own purposes. And he was a good Catholic. He wanted to reform the Catholic Church. He didn't want to destroy the church at all. He wanted to reform it. But out of the Reformation and the Reformation movement came the Protestant Church and an entirely different view of what Christianity was all about. And the whole Protestant theme was you could reach God yourself. You didn't have to go through the structure of a church or the structure of a minister or a priest. You could reach God yourself. And so more and more people begin thinking this way, and they begin philosophizing, and you had people that were beginning writing about perhaps man had some inherent rights. In the 1600s, there was a man named John Locke, and John Locke wrote about natural law and nature's God. And he said, look, he said, that government governs the best, it governs the least. And he talked about the rights of life and liberty and property. And, of course, he talked about the fact that men had an inherent right to be free. And, of course, these ideas of John Locke and the idea that there was a natural law that superseded the laws of the state, and those natural laws were based in Christianity, had a profound impact on people. There were people like a man named Rutherford, who was a Scots theologian, who wrote a book entitled Rex Lex. And the basic thing, Lex Rex, which means the law is king, rather than Rex Lex, which is the king is the law. And Rutherford said that all men were created in sin, that the king was created in sin, that the individual was created in sin. All men were sinners. That was what the Bible taught. So why should the individual be subservient to the king? And his concept that all men were created equal said that you didn't need a king to rule you. You should only be ruled by the Lord. And then, of course, there were other people. There was a man named Blackstone, and he was born in the early 1700s, and he wrote commentaries on the laws of England. And this was basically the standard of British law, and eventually, of course, it became the standard of American law, and it basically said that all laws were based on the Bible. In fact, Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of the Bible had so much of the Bible in it, the laws of England had so much of the Bible and religion in them that a century later, why Charles Finney, who was a young man studying to be a lawyer, reading Blackstone's commentaries on the law, gave up his desire to become an advocate and actually entered the ministry. And, of course, Charles Finney led the Second Great Awakening that was so important as far as the future of our country was concerned in the mid-19th century. Well, we're going to have to go to a break here. And when we get back, we'll open up our lines to if you have anything you'd like to say or to call, give us a call here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and We'll be back in just a moment.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS.
And the book is AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, and let me recommend the book to you. It will give you tremendous insight into the background of the epidemic that's already killed almost 30 million people throughout the world and will kill hundreds of millions or more. Totally unnecessary. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, I think will help you to understand that so much of what lies ahead. And, of course, if you're not concerned about the people who are dying of this disease unnecessarily, if the disease were to strike you or your family, would you have any reason to believe anybody else would be concerned? We have to be concerned because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Well, let me just take one more moment and mention a couple of the other things that we carry here at Radio Liberty. Certainly, we recommend people give serious consideration to getting Alamax, and Alamax is a allicin product, and allicin, of course, comes from garlic, and garlic, we know, certainly is good for your blood pressure, it's good for your cholesterol, it helps your blood circulation, but, of course, I take it, and I've taken it for about 8 months now, because seems to keep me from getting colds when everybody else is getting them. So I'm very happy with it. And so if you'd like to know more about Alamax, call 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. And then we hope many of you will want to set up an institute of the Constitution in your community, in your church, in your home. And of course, it's very easy to do. All you have to do is call the Institute at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. It's a series of 12 half-hour talks by Professor John Eidsmo, who is a professor of constitutional law. And, of course, there are two more videos by David Barton. And then, of course, there are the programs. There's a book there that has the texts, the questions and the answers. Call them right now, though, and set up an Institute of the Constitution for America. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and we're talking about the 4th of July and the foundations of our freedom. And so it was in about 1607 why a group of people came from England and they set up a colony in Jamestown. And then about 1620, the Pilgrims came to America, and of course they settled in Plymouth. And before long, there were people coming from Europe, Protestants predominantly. Many of them were Puritans. They were people who wanted to purify the corrupt Anglican church that had been created in England by Henry the Eighth, you know, so he could marry all these women and kill. He actually killed two of his wives and divorced two of them. And well, it was a pretty sordid time. And of course, the Anglican Church was simply set up to give the king the license to do what he wanted to. And he was a corrupt king, and religion was being used for corrupt purposes. And the Puritans wanted to purify the church, and so they first of all they opposed it in England, and because they were oppressed because of what he spoke out, they came to America. And you had the Huguenots come to America. You had the Quakers come to America. You had the Pilgrims coming to America. You had the Congregationalists and the Scotch Presbyterians. And more people came to America with this idea that they were going to establish new lives here and get away from the corruption and the oppression that existed in Europe. Well, what people don't really know, that it's about 1640, a group of men came to America, and they were sent by a man named Francis Bacon, who was an occultist. He was a Rosicrucian. And he had written a book called The New Atlantis. And in that book, of course, he talked about how the old Atlantis had been destroyed. Now, we don't know whether Atlantis ever existed. All we know is what certainly Plato had written about it in his dialogues, but there are many people who believe that Atlantis existed, this wonderful utopian society with advanced knowledge, and then, of course, it was destroyed. And so it was the belief of Francis Bacon and the men he sent to the United States that they would reestablish here in the United States, in this new world, a new Atlantis that would one day lead the world to this utopia, the same sort of utopia that Plato had written about in his Republic, that philosophers have dreamed of, a different type of religion that didn't worship the God of the Bible, but worshiped a different God. But the people would, of course, eventually rally behind this different God because he would give them great advantage. So you had two forces in America. You had the Christian group, and you had, of course, the occult group, but they were very small. And, of course, because they were an occult group, they had to remain hidden. After all, the word occult suggests hidden. And, of course, America started out as a Christian nation, and very soon we had Harvard University established to train ministers to go out and preach the Word of God. And it wasn't very long, unfortunately, before Harvard University had been taken over and was no longer teaching the Word of God. It was teaching atheism and Unitarianism. And, of course, then they established Yale University to train ministers to preach the Word of God. And before long, those very wicked people had taken that over. And so they established Princeton University as some center where men could learn how to preach the Word of God. But what the average American doesn't understand today is that these wicked people have been here ever since they were sent here by Francis Bacon, and they took over, eventually, Princeton University, whereas today it's just as corrupt as all the rest of them. And what most Americans don't know, because we never teach this, is that by the 1740s, America was a totally corrupt, depraved nation, going the same way that ancient Rome had been. Now, we had tremendous prosperity, beginning prosperity here, but the people had lost their moral foundation. And so a man named Jonathan Edwards and one or two other ministers went around from community to community talking, and Jonathan Edwards gave a talk, same talk in every community. It was called A Sinner in the Hand of God, of an Angry God. And, of course, that created the first great awakening. The first great awakening brought people back to God, and it was out of the fruit of the first great awakening that there was tremendous religious fervor in America, and people began thinking about what Samuel Rutherford had written about all men being created equal, and about what John Locke and about what Blackstone had written, because Blackstone had simply picked up a lot of John Locke's ideas, and that is, of course, that You would be better, of course, to limit the power of government over the lives of the people. And, of course, Blackstone had echoed John Locke talking about nature's God and nature's law. And so, you know, then it came to a time, of course, the conflict between the colonists here and the King of England. And the King of England was certainly taking away the rights of the people. And if you read the Declaration of Independence, they're all listed there. And the whole list of their complaints against what the state was doing to them is very reminiscent of what's happening today here in America as our freedoms are being taken away. And it was sort of out of this conflict that a group of men gathered together there on the 4th of July, 1776, to sign the Declaration of Independence. And, of course, it had been written by a group. There was a committee with John Adams and several other people, but certainly Thomas Jefferson had mainly responsible for writing what came to be known as the American Declaration of Independence, one of the most unique documents, because if you read it through, you'll find there the ideas of John Locke laid out, and laid out really very, very clearly. And so if we look at the opening words, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to the separation. In other words, we're going to separate from Great Britain because, of course, we're entitled to the rights of men, because of nature's law and nature's God. And these were the ideas that John Locke had put forward before, the laws of nature and nature's God. And then it said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That's Samuel Rutherford. That they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And John Locke and Blackstone had echoed that man was right, had the right to life, liberty, and property. And actually, in the original text of the Declaration, Jefferson had put in life, liberty, and property, but somebody came along and said, no, the pursuit of happiness, not happiness, but the pursuit of happiness. And then, of course, the next sentence, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Well, the Declaration was approved on the July 4th. John Hancock was the first to sign, and he said, you know, the price on my hat is just doubled. Benjamin Franklin signed saying, we must hang together, or most assuredly we will hang separately. Of the 56 signers, 17 lost their fortunes, 12 had their homes destroyed, 9 fought and died, 5 were arrested as traitors, and 2 lost sons in the war. And as Samuel Adams signed the Declaration of Independence, he said this, we have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven from the rising to the setting of the sun. Let his kingdom come. And that was the philosophy behind the signing of the Declaration of Independence. We were the first nation where people got their rights from God. And the fact that, of course, they're trying to take God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our society simply reflects the wicked people who've gotten into positions in the courts who don't believe in the Constitution, who don't believe in America, but are intent upon changing us from a nation founded upon Judeo-Christian principles into a secular nation, into a dictatorship, as Plato had dreamed of. Well, we've got Nathan on the line, so let's talk to Nathan. Hi, Nathan. How are you doing?
Hi. Did Charles Finney really begin his religious career after reading Blackstone?
That's right. He was going to be a lawyer, and he read Blackstone, and he was so taken by the biblical material and the biblical information in Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England that he switched his profession and he became one of the greatest evangelists of all time. And we're deeply indebted to Blackstone for that because Charles Finney led the Second Great Awakening.
Well, I may not agree with Blackstone on necessarily all of his religious doctrines or with Charles Finney for that matter, but, you know, it's interesting that their commitment to law and the commitment to the concept of the rule of law stems from, I guess you could say, not just a religious source, but a source very much predicated on the laws of Moses and on the revelations of God to man, that he must have a society ruled by law, not simply by whim. The main focus, I agree with most of what you say today. Definitely did agree with you on when you mentioned the concept of the judges. Most people don't realize that biblical Israel, or at least most who are not familiar with the Bible all that well, may not realize that biblical Israel was initially supposed to be ruled by judges. It wasn't supposed to be a monarchy, or at least that's the way I read it, that it was supposed to be ruled by just courts. Really, I believe that the world is supposed to be ruled by just courts and not by all these governments of man.
Well, of course, today, while we have our judges ruling us and we have Supreme Court judges who make decisions not based upon law, which they are required by their oath to uphold, but rather, well, gee, we think this is a good idea, so let's find a rationalization to change America even more. And look what they're doing.
Well, of course, the judges who rule us don't seem to be God-fearing people. They seem to just want to create morality out of nothing. I mean, witness some of their recent decisions. But ideally, you would have a system of just courts that would rule by God's laws. Now, maybe that's not possible in this age, and it's possible that things are just going to keep degenerating and that we can't really interfere with that. But, you know, as I read 1 Samuel chapter 8, I don't read that Israel was supposed to have a monarchy or a secular system of government, ideally. Now, it was acquiesced to.
Now, let me suggest to our listeners that you get the book and get the Bible and read 1 Samuel chapter 8. What Nathan is talking about is seminal to an understanding of America, because there have only been two countries, in my estimation, throughout all history, where men were not to be ruled from above. In America, the power of the central government was to be limited by the change of the Constitution, for as Jefferson had said so well, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but chain them down from mischief or with the chains of the Constitution. And, of course, he understood that if we had an all-powerful government, eventually the people would lose their freedom. And so Jefferson was a very, very wise man who recognized, in fact, he even talked, of the danger of the courts, that he saw within the courts the seed of the destruction of our nation, and he was so right, so prophetic.
Well, man is supposed to be ruled by above, infinitely above,
right,
as opposed to man ruling himself in any form, really. I mean, ideally, and I mean, I definitely don't want to split hairs over doctrine and parsing little words.
Well, I think we can both agree that those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants.
Oh yeah, definitely, and that's exactly what did in fact happen, not just in Israel with the splitting of the monarchies and then rebel monarchy in the northern kingdoms, but also also in Rome, as you mentioned, it did start off as something close to a rule by law. There were the 12 tablets after the Tarquin monarchs were overthrown, and what we call a respublic or a republic was formed. And there were the 12 tablets, and things seemed to get off on the concept of a rule by law, and it actually lasted a fairly long time. But remember, too, that Rome was a pagan society, and they definitely believed in many gods, and I don't think they had a Judeo-Christian concept of morality. And so I think that it was destined to go downhill and destined to split and have generals fighting each other and Caesar and Pompey and all these people.
Well, you know,
I think here you have more people who are, whether I entirely agree, and I'm sure that you and I would both disagree with a lot of what goes on in the United States, you do have a people who have more of a heritage of biblical literacy and more of a heritage of the concepts of the Bible. And I think that I would hope from that there would be some kind of a godly restoration.
Well, all we can do is hope and pray. What's really so interesting...
Hold out much hope, but I think it's possible.
Well, you know, what people have forgotten is that Diocletian basically split the Roman Empire into two parts. And most people, of course, don't know their history, but the eastern section lasted until the 1200s. The western section, of course, fell at 424,
76.
So basically the eastern section kept its religious foundation, and also it kept a solid and stable currency. The western part did exactly what we're doing and went exactly the way America's going today.
Yeah, the eastern part considered themselves Romans until the Ottomans came, the Muslims came and conquered them. And so in some ways Rome lasted a long time, but it was a different Rome, and it was Byzantine Rome, and it definitely wasn't, I'm not saying I would agree with them either, but it was, as you said, they may have preserved certain foundations better, it seems like.
Okay, fine. Well, do you have anything else to say?
Just want to wish everybody a happy Independence Day, and I hope that people will read, will choose to maybe celebrate this Independence Day a little bit differently. I'm not saying don't go out and see fireworks or anything, but definitely spend some time reading and spend some time studying and spend some time in front of sacred scripture. I would particularly recommend reading the prophets
a
little more somber.
How about 1 Samuel chapter 8? I think that's a good place to begin. God bless you, and thank you so much for being with us, Nathan.
You.
And I think Nathan's point is well taken, and I hope that you will read 1 Samuel chapter 8, because it gives you the beginning of an understanding of what things were like in Israel and how different they would have been had they not had the corruption of the judges, had they not looked to an all-powerful centralized authority to remedy the problem. And it's like everything that goes on in America today. There's a problem, and so the government passes a new law. and suddenly why it complicates things. It's like the music we have on our program. I mean, I love the music we had, the version of America the Beautiful, and of course we had Kate Smith concluding our programs with God Bless America, and I just love that music. And then in Washington, D.C., in the name of protecting Mickey Mouse and Disney's rights to what they had, and of course, somehow or other, they changed the laws, and, you know, and then, of course, they changed the laws as far as copyrights were concerned, and then they passed another law that had to do with music being played on the Internet. And, of course, music being played on the Internet, it had to be printed or had to be stamped before 1972, so any of the things that we've been playing that were actually made after that, we can't use anymore. All in the name, of course, of certainly protecting somebody's rights. But what they do is they take away everybody else's right. There's no problem facing America today that a new federal law won't make worse. And this is what people really don't understand. They've restricted our ability to quote many things that we should be able to quote and reproduce. To protect Mickey Mouse, and we've taken away our right to play the music we want to hear, I think our people would like to hear, in the name, of course, of protecting somebody's rights. Because somebody was abusing this on the Internet. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention Phonopoly. It's a board game played like Monopoly, but it's designed to teach your children and your grandchildren, and maybe even you, how to read and spell and of course, pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, Phonopoly teaches you the 40 basic sounds of the English language. It teaches you the 12 rules of the English language. And once you know the sounds and the rules, why, you can sound out everything. Phonics is the way people should read, and they should be taught in phonics, but they don't do that in our schools because they want to dumb down our children, and they've done a pretty good job of it. And so if you'd like your children to learn to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and order a Phonopoly set. They're $139.95. Now, most of these programs are $400, $500, $600, $139.95. And then, of course, we want to mention the Miracle 2 soap products, which we carry, and we can't make any medical claims for them, but I will tell you that the people who use these products really are sold by them, sold on them, and I found so many uses for this, and if I don't find it, my wife suggests it, and these really are great products. There's a regular soap, and there is a moisturizing soap, and there is a lotion and a gel, and there's a neutralizing soap, which some people take because they think it seems to help them as far as their heartburn is concerned. All you can do is get the products and try them and see if they help you. But if you'd like to know more about Miracle Sue soap products, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, I hope that many of you will want to get the special introductory offer. It's a reduced price. If you order all the products at one time, well, give us a call now. Well, Dr. Stan back here once again. And, of course, here it's the 4th of July. And I'm sure everybody is anxious to get out and enjoy the fireworks and enjoy the good camaraderie. And I don't know how many people are going to be out there listening, but if you are, I really appreciate the fact that you think enough of our program that you're willing to spend an hour with me here on this afternoon as we talk a little bit about the background of this wonderful country we live in. As imperfect as it is, as bad as it's getting, we still have something to go back to. We still have a foundation of freedom unparalleled any other place in the world. And believe me, there's no place to run. The battle for the survival of Western civilization is here. And I hope that you'll stand with us here at Radio Liberty. In fact, I hope many of you out there will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, 5 hours every day, and then up to 35 stations on the weekend, reaching out. And of course, we've taken on another weekend program here in the Central Coast of California, which we'll be doing on most weekends. But of course, we're trying to reach people, trying to get them to think. And we hope that you'll want to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Again, the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call. And of course, we'd be glad to send you a free copy if you haven't had one before. If you're interested in a Christian health care program, but it's not health insurance, it's simply a Christian sharing program that's called MediShare, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll put you in touch with Joe Foreman, and he'll tell you all about the program. But with skyrocketing health care costs, the average family needs to have something, and really some of the insurance is just so outlandish. Oh, well, I believe this is a good program. We've checked into it. We think it's well worthwhile. So if you'd like to know more, give us a call of 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and simply ask about MediShare. We'll put you in touch with the people in charge and let you talk to them. And then, of course, we simply want to mention the Institute of the Constitution. We hope that many of you will want to establish one in your own community to begin to teach people about our Christian heritage, the Christian foundations of this once great nation. The number 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. I'll mention Alamax, which is a garlic product. And of course, it's allicin, and allicin's the active ingredient in garlic, which is really so good for you. It's been had medicinal uses for many, many years. Why don't you call them at 866-405-4000? That's 866-405-4000. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will tell others about the radio programs. We hope that you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and you can get our programs there. You can listen to them 5 hours a day and not get anything accomplished. You can pull down the programs. You can pull down our newsletters. You can pull down the other things we've written, and you have our permission to copy anything off our website and utilize it. I was watching a program somebody was also putting on recently, and they had these great pictures of the Georgia Guidestones, and then I noticed down at the bottom it says, thanks so much to Dr. Monty's ministry. They pulled them down off the website. I don't mind. I think that's the greatest form of flattery when somebody takes what you have actually written and duplicates it. So certainly you have our permission to copy our videos and to copy our tape sets and to help us get the truth out across America, the truth you're not going to get from other sources. So this is the time, of course, we also want to remind you that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield. And so we certainly hope that you'll pray for America, that you'll pray for revival in this country, because if the American people don't turn back to God, why, God will never again bless this nation. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers. But most of all, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, well, let's see, that'll be Monday at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.